The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
We have a Mae Young Classic winner, and if you love John Cena and Roman Reigns, are you ready for round three? Here this week on Pro Wrestling Unscripted with your host, Shannon Young, Mr. 100, along with the not-so-usual gang tonight. We've got no Ace of Gray, no five-star man. The five-star man is sick. I checked his temperature earlier. He's down to 2.5 stars, so he could not make it to the show tonight because he told me, as a perfectionist, he didn't want to make the show look bad by only giving 80%. Now, we did come to the agreement that 80% of Ace of Gray is worth more than 150,000% of Dalton Anthony, but because Asa was so nice about it, I told him to stay home, eat some soup, say your vitamins, eat some prayers. And tonight instead, yeah, that's what I said. We've got, filling in for the five-star man, the big D, Dalton Anthony.
You know I'm still on the show tonight, right?
Yo.
Oh, you.
Yo. There you go. It's like The Simpsons. You try to say something, and I'm home, and I just say, Oakley dokley. Do the line, Bart. And of course, not actually a bear. Got the test back today to prove it. Ali A Bear.
Hello.
We just wrapped up CCW Live with Jeff Odell, and it was fantastic. It was a lot of fun. This time, I think you guys can actually go watch it if you go to my Facebook or if you, Dalton, did you share it as well?
I didn't share it. I just saved it in case we lost it.
You can definitely go to my Facebook and check it out. I believe you can also go to Jeff Odell's Facebook because a couple people shared it. But it was a lot of fun. Jeff talked about, the title situation in CCW with Hollis and Austin. We talked about the Hustlers a little bit, did some word association. Jeff is always entertaining as hell. So I highly encourage you guys to go listen to that. It was a lot of fun. But we're going to talk about some very, very important things tonight. And we're going to start it off with something Dalton's been chomping at the bit to talk about for weeks.
Yes.
It just ended last night.
Uh-huh.
We have a Mae Young Classic winner. And it is Kairi Sane,
which well-deserved. She is an amazing talent. That being said, if you haven't watched it, even though we just told you who won, it's worth going to watch the journey of it because there's so many great matches. There's like literally only one or two I was kind of about, but it's such a good tournament. I would say it's better than the UK tournament.
I agree.
And it's also very important to note that I am also in the majority of people because it is one of the top eight most watched on the network.
Yeah.
And they were all, or wait a minute. In the show notes, Ace are wiped out. Top eight most watched on network were all Mae Young Classic.
Yeah.
So that is how much people have been been clamoring to watch good women's wrestling. And this has been, it was amazing women's wrestling.
All right. So I have a confession to make.
Yes.
No, I'm not going to make that confession. I'll confess that to you guys after the show because it's, okay, should I say it?
Go ahead.
All right. God.
Is this going to get us in trouble?
Yeah.
Like, remember, Ace is going to listen to this.
Well, this is all true. This is all true. So last night, talking about women's wrestling.
Yes.
And just how far we've come with women's wrestling in the United States. So last night, someone sent me a link.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to say who it was.
Whoop.
No.
Oh.
No, I'm not going to name names. It wasn't him. I'm not going to name names. But it was a link to women's wrestling.
Okay.
And they said, have you ever heard of this? And I said, well, one, and I'm not making this up. This is after Allie was asleep. Bob was asleep. Well, no, Bob was at work. That's a different story. Lindsay was asleep. Everyone's asleep in my apartment. I have the apartment to myself. They say, have you ever heard of this? I said, well, first off, you're linking me to Pornhub.com. So there's a good chance I have not seen it. He said, click the link. It will blow your mind. My mind. My mind's blowing. So I thought, all right, no one's here. Let's take a chance. Have you, Dalton, ever heard of the Naked Women's Wrestling League?
No.
Nor had I. So I watch it for a second, and who comes out? The GM is Carmen Electra. Actress Carmen Electra.
Oh!
Is the GM. It's starting to ring a bell now.
I have heard of this because Jimmy Hart is like a
Jimmy Hart was there. And when Jimmy Hart walked out, Allie, I don't know if you know who Jimmy Hart is.
No, and also let me clarify. I read about this on the internet. I have not watched it. It's just like the fact that you said Carmen Electra and then Jimmy Hart came in my head.
The Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart comes out. And Mouth of the South takes on a whole new meaning when it's this particular website that I'm watching it on. So Jimmy Hart comes out and I think, okay, if Jimmy Hart's there, I have to believe that this is going to be somewhat tame. Because Jimmy Hart wouldn't. No, he probably would. And then sure enough, the women in the ring got naked completely and wrestled. And it really wasn't that bad of wrestling, I will admit.
So it was just wrestling, just say.
It was just wrestling. Like, it was better wrestling than WWE was putting out at the time.
At the time. That being said, Mae Young Classic, I'm willing to put money, way better.
That being said, I think it's great in this country that we went from a, the only way you could see women's wrestling was either, I mean, of course there was like Glow, well, in the 80s, Shimmer. There was some good wrestling out there.
Yeah, WCW.
Yeah, WCW.
Before it went to, like the late 90s, early 2000s. Because, yeah, like, they had the Japanese women's wrestling.
They had Bull Nakano. Oh. They had Alundra Blaze. They had a bunch of good people.
Yeah.
But that we went from Naked Women's Wrestling League to the Mae Young Classic, where you have a showcase for women to go on and actually wrestle and be amazing.
And, you know, honestly, in 2006, you can say it went from Naked Women Wrestling to the Mae Young Classic 10 years later.
Well, and that's not to take anything away from the women that wrestled in the 2000s. Of course, you had the Trish Stratuses and the Lita's.
Yeah.
You had great women's wrestling. But, you know, I know for a fact that there were people like my brother, who I won't speak his name, who would watch the Naked Women's Wrestling League and think, this is women's wrestling. This is fun. That's not fun. That is objectifying.
Demeaning.
And a little sleazy. But the Mae Young Classic is something we can all be proud of. And I am proud to have watched it. I was proud Marty Bell was in it. Mm-hmm. You know me, I'm a big Marty Bell fan.
Yeah.
I became a fan of a lot of new women. Toni Storm. I had not heard of her.
She's insane. Yeah.
Lacey Evans. I like her. She was the pinup girl.
She has a lot of work. She was definitely an NXT performance.
Well, I think they all have a lot of work to do. Like Piper, you were a big fan of Piper Niven.
No, I like Piper Niven's look, and I think she has a lot. Like, she's very athletic for a bigger woman, but just the jumping out of the pins. I talked about it to like Billy and Sarah, and whenever I talked to them, I said the one thing I hated about her first match, and Billy finished it before I was even able to say anything. He said, was it when she was jumping off at two? And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
I was like, she's big. Lay across her chest and let them work for their shoulder up.
Right.
Don't let them kick out. Just let them shimmy their shoulder.
Didn't look realistic.
Yeah. That being said, just her in-ring work besides that was amazing. Like, her second match was really, really good whenever she went over Serena Deeb.
And we got to see Serena Deeb.
Yeah, which was cool to see her. I have like two or three superstars coming out of it that aren't Kairi Sane. Abby Lath, who is Kimberly in the Indies. I've talked a lot about her. She came out of this tournament looking like a champion.
She did. She looked good.
Because she went over Jazzy Gabbert in the first round, which I like. Kelly, our beloved CCW ref.
Yeah.
He messaged me because he knows how much I love Kimberly. And he was just like, the night that episode aired, the very first one, he was like, I need you to watch it and then text me your response. And I was like, man, I don't want to have to text you that I'm bummed out that she lost to her. And the second she won, there were some profanities
that I can't repeat here.
Yeah. And he was just like, I was waiting for that text all night.
Candice LeRae, of course.
Candice LeRae looked awesome.
I'm a big fan of Mia Yim. I was happy that she was in the tournament.
Yeah.
This was a great spotlight on some of women's wrestlers that you may not know. A couple of them were from GFW/TNA,
yeah,
like Mia Yim and Marty Bell. I hope that these guys get their own, maybe not their own show, but I hope they get signed. There's a bunch I want to get signed
from the runner-up. What do you think about her? Baszler. I know we've talked about it. We may have talked about her on the show.
I think now
that you've seen a couple of her matches.
I think Baszler's good. Here's the only problem I have with Baszler.
Uh-huh.
They very much portrayed her as the antagonist throughout the tournament.
Yeah.
And for her to immediately, after it's over, shake hands, hug Kairi Sane, and be a good guy was a little off-putting.
Well, not, and this isn't me saying it. This is the story they're portraying.
Sure.
The other women she beat weren't worthy of it. I mean, Mercedes Martinez, who, like, they are... I think Mercedes may have actually trained her a little bit. I could be wrong.
I think that's what they said.
I feel like that is true. Like, she had some hand in her training. She wasn't like that to her. It was Candice LeRae and then the other people that she faced before Mercedes that she was like, no, you guys are below me. And even, like, at the end of the Candice LeRae match, whenever she, like, slapped the choke on her and held it. And Johnny Gargano came in there, and she still disrespected her in front of him.
Which is why she seemed very disrespectful. So for her to suddenly be so respectful at the end, it just felt off. But I get what it was. It was because it was the tournament finals and because they were trying to, like, celebrate these accomplishments. And they should have. Like, it's like they broke kayfabe in that moment to say, hey, give these guys respect for what they did.
I can't remember if Pete Dunne did the same thing at the end of the UK tournament because it's been a couple months since I've watched it.
Yeah.
But I mean, Pete Dunne kind of did the exact same thing.
He was the Baszler of that tournament.
Yeah,
only by far.
A little bit more scary just because Baszler didn't attack anybody post-match.
Right, or pre-match. Or any time otherwise.
Yeah, she was just a killer.
My question to you is, All right, so the first tournament that we had, the CWC last year, which was amazing.
Yeah.
I wanted Kota Ibushi to win. He yes. was my guy. He did not win. He did not sign with WWE.
No.
This time, the big hype was around Kairi Sane. It almost felt like the tournament was really made for her, which is why I was so sure that she wouldn't win. She did sign with WWE, and she did win the Mae Young Classic. I'm glad she won, but do you think they made the right call, or who would you have rather seen win? And Allie, I'm going to ask you the same question.
Just with people that signed, I think it would have been nice to see Laith win, just because she has an NXT background already.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand why not. She was already signed.
And they were really going for the push for Kairi. Yeah, like that, and, the next Asuka, the next, maybe Alexa Bliss, you know, the next big female wrestler.
Yeah. And, I mean, I said early my favorite to win was Kairi, but I wanted Baszler to win the most just because I've been following her since she started wrestling. And I used to be a really big MMA fan, and I was a really big fan of hers because she was a really solid MMA fighter and also a big professional wrestling fan. So that's kind of where my love for her came, like, forefronted like 3-4 years ago. That being said, I think they definitely made the right call. Do you know what they're doing with Kairi Sane right now?
I don't know.
She is number one contender for the NXT.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Obviously, yeah.
Because I think that's what they're going to do. She's going to be number one contender, and then they're going to have one of their women.
Probably Ember Moon. It's going to be probably Ember Moon versus Kairi.
And Ember's probably going to win that one, honestly.
I think you're right. I think Ember's finally going to win it. And as happy as I am that Ember's going to win it, do you feel like it's too little too late versus what should have been probably Asuka? She probably should have beat Asuka for the title.
I think Kairi Sane should have beat Asuka. I mean, and in fairness, don't give me that look because I've been saying that since the Mae Young Classic.
Well, no, I didn't give you that look because I completely disagree with you. It seems so unlikely that WWE would put two Japanese wrestlers against each other for the title.
Even more reason to do it.
Which would have been very cool.
Because, like,
Ember
honestly.
Ember Moon deserved it. Ember Moon, she's.
No, she definitely
Ember
does.
Moon's like Dolph Ziggler. She's like the one that works so hard, and you feel like, okay, they're going to put the title on him this time. Or Sami Zayn. They're going to put the title on her. They're going to put the title on her. They're still not putting the title on her. 6 months past the time they should have put the title on her, now we're going to put the title on her.
And I'm not going to say anything. What I'm about to say I'm not meaning as rude towards Kairi Sane or Asuka for that matter.
Uh-oh.
But you made that comment to where, would WWE let two Japanese wrestlers main event with a title? If there was a better time to do it, it's the takeover during Survivor Series. That's not the most like, it's not the SummerSlam or WrestleMania one. Do it on that takeover. That would be a safe one to do because it's two Japanese wrestlers who are really competent. Amazing workers.
Well, I think in NXT,
that are two women in NXT, and it's the women's match.
Yeah, NXT fans, I think, would accept it anytime.
That's, yeah, that is the time that you can pull something like that, and nobody will really question it. You can actually bring it up to that level. It's the same thing whenever the first WWE women's pay per view main event was in Hell in the Cell. Why? That's a show that you can add that to it, and it adds something to it. That's when you can do.
And that almost wasn't the main event.
Yeah.
If you remember correctly, they had to pull some strings to get that because McMahon did not want it.
Yeah.
By the way, we're going to talk about McMahon in a little bit. Something happened that I did not like. It was a little scary. But Allie, do you think they made the right call?
Well, I sadly have not watched as much of the Mae Young Classic as I would like. But from what I saw, I did really like Abby Laith from what I saw. But I did see a big push for Kairi Sane, and she's obviously a great talent, so having her win it does make sense.
Do you not like pirates?
Do you like dandy pirates?
What's your favorite dandy pirate?
Is it Kairi Sane?
Are you sure? Who's your favorite pirate wrestler in WWE?
There's one right answer.
Is it Kairi Sane?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you forget about a little man named Paul Burchill?
Yes. Aye.
Pirate Paul?
Was Pirate Paul during my time?
He swung to the ring on a rope.
Yeah, and that's not a bit.
With a cutlass, I believe, a weapon. Yeah, and you know why and it was a great gimmick. Like, everybody loved it. And you know why they dropped it?
Because it was weird.
Because Vince McMahon didn't know what Pirates of the Caribbean are. Because that's what they were basing it on, was the Pirates of the Caribbean. I thought it was great. So now you got another pirate in WWE, in Kairi Sane.
Yep.
Way better worker.
Paul Burchill was a great wrestler, though.
He was.
They're just different.
Yeah.
It's apples to oranges. Apples to apples.
That phrase don't make no sense. Why can't fruit be compared?
Easy, Dickie. Easy.
I couldn't say the first part of that line.
So if you guys haven't seen it, please go watch the Mae Young Classic. Worth catching up on by far. Make it a weekend thing. Watch the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's 8 episodes plus the finale, which the finale is only 30 minutes. Oh, that's one thing I wanted to say really quick before we jump off this topic. WWE, next time you do a big tournament like that, do me a favor. Test your commentators beforehand.
Yeah,
I hated that.
The parts that I did watch with, okay, so it's
the
no
finale,
secret.
The finale was better.
There was never a time in my life, ever, where I thought I could say that I could hang with Jim Ross in anything. And it's no secret that Allie, myself, Dalton, and Asa, we do commentary for CCW. You can catch that every Wednesday on Fight TV. And also, I believe on our YouTube channel. They post stuff on the YouTube channel. And we do commentary for it. And I think we're pretty damn good. And, you know, of course, when you do commentary, who's the standard? Who's the gold standard? Jim Ross. Mm-hmm. Jim Ross is the gold standard. You could say Gordon Solie. You could say, well, you're probably not going to say Tony Schiavone, but he was good. He was good. I don't care. But Jim Ross is clearly the best ever. And he and Lita, maybe it's just because they were as a combo, nothing for me. Did nothing for me. Jim Ross sounded uninterested. Lita
tried the first episode, and then after he kind of figured out what he was working with, he just phoned it in.
Yeah, and I don't get that, because Jim Ross, from what I understand, is a consummate professional. So maybe it was just off. It was just off. You know, sometimes you don't have the right chemistry with somebody.
And again, unpopular opinion, but I haven't liked any of Jim Ross's match calling in the last 2-3 years. That wasn't the NXT, UK match with Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne.
I think part of it is because you don't get to hear Jim Ross weekly. So when you hear Jim Ross as a one-off, his style is so specific. He is so Jim Rossy that you kind of forget what Jim Ross is like, and it throws you off. Jim Ross, week to week, I think is the best announcer. And still, I think he would be. But I just think this was just, hey, Jim, you want to do the commentary for this women's tournament?
No, it wasn't do you want to. Hey, Jim, you're under contract.
Hey, Jim,
do
you're going
commentary.
To do the tournament. Yeah. And we're going to pair you with Lita. Not Renee Young.
It should have been Medusa.
Not Trish Stratus.
Now, in fairness.
Not Medusa.
Asa brought it to my attention when we were looking for action figures a few days ago. Or no, we were in Carbondale. Or Marion, one of the two. And he said, did you read Renee Young's tweet about that, where it was everybody saying, you should do the commentary. Renee Young even said, he was like, I appreciate the fan support, but if you go watch those NXT matches or shows that I did, I wasn't that good. So at least she's like...
She was better than Lita.
Yeah, that's fair.
But
yeah, no. That being said, amazing.
Yeah, and I want to, you know, say for all of our criticisms of the commentary and stuff like that, like, we're not, I don't mean to throw stones, because it's not like we're tearing up the world. They get paid for it. We don't. So.
Also, just, it's really hard to match our 3 months of, our commentary compared to like the 20 plus years of Jim Ross.
Well, and not only that, but again, Jim Ross got thrown into the tournament of, here's a bunch of people you may or may not know. Call their matches versus us, where we've watched CCW for a year. We know everybody. We have the chemistry for it.
Yeah, we've been around each other all the time for the last 2 to 3 years.
That's really true. Like, for you people that are out there going, oh man, at least they only have to deal with each other like Thanksgiving, like on the these days when they record. No, we are all practically glued at the hip.
We also record most days of the week.
Yeah. You don't give us a lot of days off,
Mr. No Days Off. Mr. No Days Off. That's all of us. Yeah. All right. Moving along. Go watch the tournament. It was great. Speaking of things that are viewed, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here. WWE has the second most viewed YouTube channel of all time. Think about that. That is big. That's bigger than the Paul brothers. That's bigger than...
It's bigger than that shoes video.
It's bigger than Rebecca Black.
Who's number one?
It's got to be PewDiePie.
Not anymore.
Probably not anymore.
Whoa! We're going to talk about that tomorrow on Thursday. Yeah. PewDiePie and Hogan hanging out.
We coming for you, Redacted.
So, I mean, the YouTube channel for WWE is pretty good. I've actually been to it. We watch it. That's where we watch a lot of our clips.
Yeah, but to say it's like, whenever I have a busy week at work or I have to sleep because I'm a human, like, and I have to catch up for this show.
So I'm not human. Told you.
Yeah, I could have told you that, Alex.
You still have to sleep. You just don't get very much of it.
But yeah, no, like, I will watch the YouTube clips because it's the easiest way to watch it. I'll catch Hulu every once in a while, but yeah, no, the YouTube channel is where I get most of my stuff from. Mm-hmm. Plus, you get a couple of exclusives, like a few of the network things you'll get exclusive. They give you a free match almost every other week. That's from like 8 years ago. Usually some really solid matches. Like, they give you a lot of content on the YouTube channel. It's cool that they do that because, like, Tout, yeah, that worked for them. they found something that works for them, and it's the YouTube channel.
Does Tout still exist?
Yeah, for WWE. That's the Smack Talking, one renegade episode of Smack Talking.
And then they had to,
Then they said, please stop. Nobody's using tout.
That's terrible. We're going to keep it rolling with more entertainment news, media news. Vince McMahon announced as a playable character in 2K18.
But why?
His arms, and then he as a wrestler, with Austin,
he owns the company.
There you go.
Good job, Alex. Did I ever tell you the really annoying?
Oh my God, she had the easy part.
Yeah, but the timing was there.
Oh my God,
Ali, did I ever tell you the McMahon Elite I bought? It was a Toys R Us exclusive, and it came with this like poofy sweater that he would actually wear to the ring. Like he kind of wrestled in a sweater, but he wasn't wearing the sweater in the box. Like you had to put the sweater on him. He is the most buff Elite out of any Elite. I mean, full six pack. Like, looks like a monster. I took a picture of it. It's like, this makes no sense. Because even, like, McMahon was in great shape in the late 90s, early 2000s.
But not like that.
But he did not look like his son-in-law.
Yeah, I remember seeing McMahon in some of the older games, and he was also just jacked. He was jacked, but he wasn't that jacked.
No, he was, like, super dad bod jacked.
Do you have the Tim Daly Elite that comes with the giant sandwich?
What?
Nope. Dalton's going to spit water. he almost did a spit take. Okay. We're going to move on. Speaking of 2K18, Dalton, me and you, we both read about this earlier today. They are changing up the career mode where now there's a fan favorite mode? There's two career paths corporate man and I want to say fan favorite.
It's a company man and fan favorite.
Yeah, company man and fan favorite.
I'll go ahead. I'll find the article.
I was going to say, the company man, basically you're trying to please the general managers and your sneak attack. It's basically face heel. And eventually you get to work with Vince McMahon, and there's different upgrades that you can only get to that. The fan favorite mode is different, where you are trying to appeal to the fans. You're doing five-star matches. You're being a good guy. And that sounds interesting, but after playing the career modes of the past two games, while fun, kind of pointless and not as good as you'd hope. So, Dalton, I'm a little worried about this one, too.
And, like, whenever you say two different modes, it's not two different modes.
It's two different paths.
Yeah, it's two different paths. It's just like whenever you could, last year they gave you three paths. You could go face, you could stick with the authority, which was 16 and 15s kind of thing.
Or
you could be a Paul Heyman guy, which was literally the hardest thing to do.
Yep.
Which I never, honestly, I don't play 2K for the career mode. The one thing that I want to, like, state that they have, and this is probably will get me to play it, is there is two new things to it. The promo engine, which was garbage last year, where you cut a promo and you just kind of had a guess at what happened.
It was an interesting concept.
It was an interesting concept, but they just really did a poorly poor
implemented
job. Because like you had Undertaker acting like Hulk Hogan, like being like super animated and stuff. This year they're actually making it a little bit more superstar like specific. So like they even said, like, yeah, no, if the New Day's out there, they're going to dance into the ring and like they're going to act the way they should be acting. The one thing that I really want to focus in on is the fact that apparently they said that it's a complete free roaming backstage environment.
Yeah. Like the old games where you can walk around backstage, you can talk to different wrestlers, you can make friends with them. Hopefully you can date some of the diva. I'm sorry. They don't have divas anymore.
No.
But
will
yeah.
Larry no. Steve be back there.
Well, who?
Larry Steve, the pig. Alexa Bliss's pig.
That's DLC.
Okay.
I hate you. But, you can, like, there's side quests for the career now. So, like, I'll give it a shot. I'm paying $150 for the game. I will play it once.
You know what DLC stands for? Downloadable cuteness.
Aww.
Because of the piggy.
The pig's adorable.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I want to be excited for the career mode, but the career mode has burned me in the last four games.
It has, but I'm excited about the fact that there's almost 200 wrestlers in this game, and that's before DLC.
Well.
Yeah, and I mean, they haven't announced DLC yet. That's probably going to come in the next week or two.
Can't wait for that either, though.
Yeah, we're less than a month away.
We really are. That's crazy.
Because we're getting early access, so we're actually getting it like 4 or 5 days beforehand.
We damn well better. I need that Enough edition.
Well, yeah, because I just got the Make-A-Wish basic figure.
You did.
And then I get the Seen Enough basic figure, so I can put two Cenas together.
If I could make a wish right now, it would be that I had the game.
Moving on. I can wait a few more weeks.
Of course you can. You have a life and people that love you.
You have me.
Aw, thank you. All right. One last thing that's not on the list here, but I wanted to mention this. So, Lana, I have to mention this. because I know a lot of people that have asked me about it, and I've seen it posted online that apparently Lana did some pictures in Bulgaria where she milked a cow in a bikini, and during that apparently her nipple popped out, mm-hmm. and people are posting that picture all online. One, she's posed naked, so you don't have to stare at that little frame. You can find nude pictures of Lana online if you want to, Zach. And then two, get a girlfriend. Okay, that's all.
Or just a...
Leave these people alone.
Or not a pathetic life.
Yeah.
I mean,
it doesn't have to be a girlfriend. Just like...
I enjoy looking at women. Everyone does, you know. Uh-huh. Maybe not... I can't think of a name.
No, and it's not like... It's not the looking
at it
thing.
It's not that we have a problem looking at women. It's just like, if you have to...
That's weird.
If you have to pause something and like blow it up and say, wow, look at that. Yeah, you might need some help. That's all I'm saying. And that's all I'll say about it.
It's like a better Google search. But it's... No? All right, bad joke. What's next?
Let's talk about Raw SmackDown real quick, because there was a couple things that happened that we wanted to discuss. Let's kick it off. I want to kick it off with SmackDown. And one of the grossest things I've seen in a while was when Kevin Owens headbutted Vince McMahon, and Allie was half asleep, but I think she remembered it.
I saw it.
Because I rewound it and tried to catch it a couple times, because I thought, okay, maybe he bladed, maybe he had something, maybe this isn't real, maybe there's something to this.
No, firsthand, he didn't blade because it wasn't that bad. Remember when McMahon bladed? Remember WrestleMania 19?
I do. He bled like a stuck pig.
Although not
Alexa Bliss's pig. It's a different pig.
Go ahead.
Like Otis from Otis Crowley. Bled like that stuffed pig.
Ooh.
But no, just the scene of him like poking his head up. Oh, we need to show you that match sometime. It's a dumpster fire, but it's a goodie.
But this... I know a lot of people. Jason was in here earlier. Jason and mm-hmm. Barry, and we were talking about it. And Jason, you know, me and Barry, we were talking about the things we thought were wrong about it and why it wasn't a great idea. And Jason kind of said, "My God, you know, we're all old and too sensitive about this stuff." And he's kind of right, because you know, he said it's just a little juice job. It is. It was just a juice job, but it wasn't. This was kind of like when Lesnar tore Randy Orton's face off, because Kevin Owens literally headbutted a 72-year-old man to the point that his head busted open and bled.
Here's my issue. Here's my big issue with it. For one, I've gotten to the point now to where I don't like blood in wrestling. And it's not that I'm too sensitive. It's just a personal preference thing. But my issue of it is like whenever there's stories of Chris Jericho telling the time that Batista and him bladed in like a house show match, and Vince McMahon fined them like an obscene amount of money for
right.
it. And like all of the things of being like, oh yeah, no, if they blade, they're going to get fined because of the sponsors. But then you as the boss go out and like get hard weighed, and you know what's going to happen. Because guess what? You're Vince McMahon. If he hits you too hard in the middle of a segment, you can say, hey, one more and you're fired. He would never do that, because I will give McMahon credit. As much as I hate him, he is a professional when it comes to ring work.
I have no doubt that he told Kevin Owens to do it.
Legit. Yeah. And that's the part that makes me mad.
Wait, so you're saying that
no, I don't like blood in wrestling, but
hold on,
it's
I was
a
getting
bad
to it. Can I do the joke?
Okay, go ahead.
Vince McMahon also said the N-word on television and then blacklisted Hulk Hogan for saying the N-word.
But then didn't blacklist LaMelo Ball.
They didn't blacklist Iron Sheik either, who's a piece of human garbage.
But yeah, no, it's just the whole thing of like, all right, cool. I don't want my wrestlers to do this anymore. It doesn't look good for the sponsors. It doesn't look good for this and that. But it used to be a very pivotal part of wrestling.
It feels like we're shifting more towards not quite an attitude error, but there's definitely more.
It's an attitude error for like 10% of the roster.
It's an attitude error for young kids who are just now finding out what the word bitch means thanks to Roman Reigns. They see this little blood here and they go, oh wow, that's crazy. And I'm sitting over here thinking about that time JBL almost crushed Eddie Guerrero's face and Eddie Guerrero bled like a hose.
Again, Eddie Guerrero's fault. He bladed too deep.
He bladed way too deep. And then, you know, you remember Mass Transit, who almost died from blading.
And it's one of those things now, like looking back at it. And I mean, this is us, like Ace is not here to like kind of rein us in. So we're going to have these conversations, but like looking at blood now, what we know about blood. Two men bleeding in a ring together with open wounds and, like, the blood mixing.
Well, I mean, hold on. They clearly...
You can't see my hands at full extent.
Hold on now. They clearly do blood tests.
Well,
no one's going in there with, like, AIDS or anything like that,
but no,
and they're
but
bleeding
still,
into each
that
other.
That doesn't make it okay. Like, it doesn't make it more acceptable that they do blood work. That's still a... Like, any job you go to, like, be, like, if you're in retail or you're in the health field or you're, like, teaching or anything like that, you have training that literally talks about blood as a biohazard material.
Yeah.
It's not sanitary, I'll give you that, but I mean, it's not like, very few wrestlers have contracted anything from bleeding with other wrestlers. But they have. They have. Right. Abdullah the Butcher, I'm pretty sure, spread more than love around to wrestlers when he wrestled them. But that's not my problem with the blood. My problem with the blood is that you were definitely gearing this more towards kids these days. You've openly admitted it. It's a publicly traded company. A 72-year-old man doesn't need to go out there and get his face crushed by a younger wrestler. One, you didn't have to do that. You could have had Kevin Owens hit Vince McMahon and lay him out. Anyway, yeah. We seem to forget more and more in wrestling these days that wrestling is a scripted sport. Mm-hmm. It's not something that you have to keep going so far with and so far and so far. A 72-year-old man getting hit with a headbutt and bleeding outright would have the same impact as someone getting kicked to the ground with a super kick or something like that.
Whenever it was Brock Lesnar versus Triple H at WrestleMania 29, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, because 29 was a Punk Taker, so I think Lesnar, Triple H happened then. That was a storyline. McMahon came out after Lesnar was, like, killing people and said, you need to stop this. And then Lesnar F5'd McMahon and then put him in the Kimura Lock, which was his finisher whenever he came back the first time, and broke, air quotes, Vince McMahon's arm. And then Triple H said, I had to sit there while a 68-year-old man was with a broken hip and arm, and his grandkids were crying, and there was no blood. It worked really well.
Right.
Like, yeah, you don't – and I mean, and again, like, I know wrestling is what it is, but do you really look tough beating up a 72-year-old man?
And
I get it proves a point. Like, him and Shane, like, and he was very much goading Kevin Owens into the whole, like, no, the reason we did what we did is because Shane was going to hurt you.
Right, but again, mm-hmm. Who's it for? It's the same thing I said about Roman Reigns and John Cena. Who is this for?
The same people.
Well, I think it's for worse people. I think the people that are watching this and going, holy shit, look, Vince McMahon is bleeding. Like, you know wrestling, if you're old enough and you're smart enough and you know the business, and I know I'm not in the business, quote unquote, but I'm pretty sure I know enough about it to make this statement. If you know what it is, then you know that it's scripted. So you know that Kevin Owens didn't literally just kick the shit out of Vince McMahon. You know this is a storyline.
Yeah.
If you're a kid, then you're basically appealing to this kid with blood, which is something you're not supposed to do as a publicly traded, family-friendly company. This was merely a fact of Vince McMahon wanted to go out there and show how tough he is at 72 years old. He doesn't have to do it, and I thought it was kind of stupid.
I wasn't a fan of it, and we're going to get into the, like, I will have something to say whenever we get into the Reigns-Cena thing again.
And you want to move on to that?
Let's, yeah.
Because, I mean, how much can we drag this out? It was an effective segment, but it didn't have to do that to be effective.
Also, yes. Congrats, New Day.
And congratulations to the New Day
for
winning the title back. And hopefully that is the end of that feud and they can move on to something else.
Yeah, and I know, like, and this is going to be, like, and one more thing about the New Day is I know WWE, or I have a good feeling that WWE is trying to make them, like, the greatest tag team of all time. They've already held the longest reign of WWE history. They beat Demolition. And I think they're probably now, the way it looks, they're just going to try to get them in the record book for everything, including most title reigns. The only thing about that is I don't know what the number is, and I think they're currently at, like, 4 or 5 title reigns. If it's, like, a 10, I think it might be, like, 10 with the Dudley Boys. I think the Dudley Boys have the most.
Which means they're going to have to either hotshot this, or you were looking at the New Day not breaking up, maybe ever.
Which, good.
Yeah, because, I mean, as much as I'm sure those guys could do well in a singles career, we know for a fact that Big E is primed for a singles push. We know it. Look at him.
You know, they tried that before and it didn't work.
I don't think they knew him as well. I think
now. No, they knew what they had. He was an NXT person. He was NXT champion right before that.
Yeah, but look at him now. Look at the popularity.
Well, yeah.
Look how much he's grown. Not physically. He's always been big. Emotionally. We know Kofi Kingston's great. We know Xavier Woods is great. But none of those guys, of the three alone, would ever achieve the same amount of success as they will going as a team.
Agreed.
Because they'll be in the record books 20, 30 years from now when people are still, you know, God willing, that wrestling is still a thing and the WWE still exists. They'll look in the record book and say, the New Day, as opposed to, do you want Big E to be a 4-month champion? Do you want Kofi to win the IC title again? You know, this is a record thing.
You know what
I'd
want?
I'd be damn proud of it.
You know what I want one time? And maybe with the IC belt, if they want to finally take the longest reigning IC champion off of Honky Tonk Man, make New Day the longest running IC champion.
Which one?
The New Day.
Just as a free bird rule for a singles title?
Yeah. I would love that so much. They don't even have to be face for that. Or they could be face when they win it and then do it for a couple months and then turn heel and then let them also be the longest running IC champion.
Allie, what do you think? keep them tag or do something new with them?
I would say keep them tag.
I concur.
Well, yeah, and I think like you could keep them as a tag team, and then whenever you want to push like another tag team, have let them break Honky's record on the longest IC title reign.
I am surprised that Honky kept it this long. I really am.
They can't find anybody they want to beat them.
Well, I Miz.
Yeah.
No, Miz. I mean Miz should. I'm with you, but
like it's amazing to me. I was reading about this earlier today because apparently Ken Anderson, who used to be Ken Kennedy. Christ. Why could I not think of Ken Kennedy?
Oh, Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson.
That's
Mr.
why I couldn't think of it.
Yeah, I couldn't think of it either. It was driving me nuts. Mm-hmm. I read an interview where he was talking about The Miz and talked about when he started how he had so much heat with the back because he kept to himself. He was very quiet and he's done really well for himself for a guy that came from the real world. The Miz is legitimate. He should go down in history as one of the best.
He just recently, and he will, if he's not a Hall of Famer at the end of his career, something happens.
And you talk about a guy that has to fight and scrap for everything he has. He was an outsider.
So, and this is going to tie into Cena Reigns, because now we can get there. Did you guys watch the Miz Enzo segment?
I read it, but that's it.
Because I know nothing.
All right, so the Miz does... By the way,
congratulations to Miz and Maryse. If they're legitimately having a child and this isn't a storyline, congrats.
Yeah. What's his the Miz, his show that he does?
Miz TV.
Miz TV, thank you. He has Enzo on for 205 Live, and just tears into Enzo. And he says, like, you remind me of me. I was also kicked out of locker rooms and kicked off of tour buses because of this and that, and I didn't have the proper respect. But guess what I learned, and you just decide to keep running your mouth. I am getting so tired of them bringing real-world stuff onto, and not the MTV show, but just, like, dirt sheet stuff.
Real-world issues.
Into the promos. Because, like, here's the thing. The Twilight movies weren't based around Kristen Stewart cheating on Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, it's lazy writing. It's lazy writing. That's like if they brought Hogan back, they would most likely, if he were a heel thing or if a heel came out, they would reference what happened to him. But if Jimmy Snuka could still wrestle and the storyline was built around, remember when you murdered your ex-girlfriend? It's lazy. If you can't draw me into the story with your writers that you pay, that sit in a room and type the stuff up all day, if you can't create a good story for these talented people and you have to rely on stuff that they do in real life, which is supposed to be separate from what you're presenting, then maybe you shouldn't be a writer in this. Maybe you should hire new writers.
And I get the whole, like, Pat Patterson on Legends House said it best, is just like, yeah, no, Mel Gibson doesn't have to be, or I think he said Tom Cruise, like, Tom Cruise doesn't get approached on the street and been like, hey, Top Gun. Like, he gets to call Tom Cruise. Wrestlers don't get that. Like, honestly, Billy, do we ever refer to him by his actual name?
I don't know his actual name.
I mean, I know it, but I've never once called him.
I think I know it.
Yeah, no, like, but like, and I get that that's the big difference, but honestly, whenever you're bringing all this, like, actual world stuff into it, and it just, it feels forced, it feels dumb. And like, and this was something that I said about the Cena Reigns thing, is that, and like, we both, this is gonna be the fun time to talk about it, cause nobody's gonna argue with us. But
that's why we have a show.
Yeah. I know for a fact Cena Reigns is going to be amazing. And this is my segue into it. I know the match is going to be fire. The promo package up to it, like the video package, is going to be amazing as long as they don't add the promos.
Well, some parts of the promos. Some parts of the promos were good.
Yeah. But everything leading into it is just like, all right, cool. It's the dirt sheet.
This is for the people on the internet. He said that a couple weeks ago when we had Brandon on. And like, they've never appealed to the people on the internet. I don't think they do it now. So I don't understand the thought process behind it.
I mean, they give the internet fans nods. Zack Ryder.
Nods are fine. Like a nod and a wink is fine. That's what you're supposed to do. That's cute. That's cutesy.
But they went full Deadpool.
Yeah, they have. And I remember a time, so I watched WCW.
Yes.
And there was an angle that they did. It was right after they fired Six, who became X-Pac in WWE.
Yes.
WWF at the time. And Kevin Nash comes out to confront Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff and runs them down and talks and says this live on the air. You fired him. It was bullshit. You know, he's dropping the S word over and over again at a time when you couldn't say this on TV.
On TBS?
TNT. Monday Nitro.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, my bad.
And as I was a teenager at the time. So I was like, but I still knew wrestling was scripted. Obviously, I had the internet. We all knew. But I remember going, okay, this is a worked shoot promo based on a real issue that happened by a guy that I know is this guy's best friend. I can get into this. This feels real to me. This is cool. Compare that to Enzo and Miz, who have no rivalry, have no heat, have no reason to go out there and bull real world bullshit into this. Cena and Reigns, two of the top guys in the company that you know they're protecting, that you know they're going to push to the moon, who have no heat with each other. The first time they go at it, you're going to have them come out and throw down the kind of stuff that should be reserved for the most bitter of rivals. And then you tell me that's good TV. I don't care. I don't buy it. And if you buy it, that's fine. If you enjoy it, I will take nothing from you. That is for you. It is not for me, but I will not waver on my opinion that this is forced and it's not good.
And I've heard Asa say this about other things, so I'm not quoting him for this situation because I can't quote him. But, yeah, it's just, I get the story they're telling. I don't like the story.
So this is me playing devil advocate.
Okay.
So whenever Miz and Daniel Bryan happened, you were not angry about that. Was it because it started? Okay.
I was angry about it.
Dalton might have been angry about it. But was it because it started on Talking Smack, which was supposed to be more of a...
It's a multi-part thing. One of Daniel Bryan, Miz was Daniel Bryan's coach, quote unquote. He was his superstar in NXT years ago.
I'm your superstar.
Right. And it was a bit insulting. And the internet crowd knew that for Miz to tell Daniel Bryan, who at this point, even though he'd never been in WWE, but was a legitimate superstar all over the world, for him to tell him, storyline-wise, listen to me, kid, I'll take you places, Daniel Bryan would, of course, go, that's stupid, I'm Daniel Bryan. You take that years later, and to know the real-world issues that Daniel Bryan is having with wrestling, to know the real-world issues about The Miz not having the respect that he feels like he should have, and then for Daniel Bryan to say something innocently enough that led into it, to me, it felt organic, as opposed to Cena and Reigns coming out and with no provocation to immediately start talking about being buried and shovels and you're protected and all that. And even if you take that away, are we not done yet with WWE throwing the word bitch around like it's the greatest thing you've ever heard? Roman Reigns has to go to the word bitch over and over again to emphasize the fact that he's angry. And by the way, this promo series, even if you like it, you cannot tell me that Roman Reigns has quote unquote held his own and looked good. Roman Reigns looks like a bitch in this. And the fact that he has to go to such childish insults to make his point known makes him look small time compared to John Cena.
Yeah. And
this does nothing for Roman Reigns.
And like, I'm okay with, I obviously have no issue with cussing. I just don't do it on the show for reasons, but like,
I have not that problem.
I know, but like, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it in wrestling promos. I feel like there's a good and bad way to do it. The first time, didn't have an issue with it. Okay, you called him a fake ass and then you said the word. Sweet. Next week, you say it again, twice. This week, you added another curse to it. You started just kind of making it like a... It's become a bit to us.
Yeah.
Oh, he said it, guys. He said it. Yeah. The censors are going to be mad at him.
When Brie Bella called Stephanie McMahon a bitch,
It worked.
That was frustration building up.
And then guess what they did?
They ran into the ground.
Ran it right into the ground. Literally every week following.
And when I say that Roman Reigns looks terrible in all this, not only is John Cena right in almost every one of his points that he makes against Roman Reigns, now you have Roman Reigns this week coming out and saying things like, I just had a great match, which I've had more in, 2 months than you've ever had in your career, which is a lie.
Yeah.
John Cena has had incredible matches.
For 15 years now? Wait a minute. 2002. 15 years now.
Yeah. It's like if you're going to script a promo for Roman Reigns and you're trying to make it look legit, don't have him say stuff that's clearly not true and that anyone with half a brain knows is a lie, because it just makes him look bad. Roman Reigns is like a dope and John Cena looks like John Cena. It's insulting. And I've had this argument with Barry. We've argued about this with Sarah online. And, you know, we've been accused that we don't get it. And Barry said that we want to write Killjoy on things and stuff like that. Well, first off,
you're not entirely wrong.
But it's not that we are out to like take the fun away from anybody.
Yeah, no, because like there's parts of wrestling that I truly love.
Yes, most of it.
Yeah, like most of it. It's just this, like, this is stupid.
It's stupid, and I'm not going to go watch a new Star Wars movie, and if it's terrible, and I say it's terrible, you can't say, well, you're just trying to take the joy away from everybody else. I'm not trying to take the joy away from anybody else. If it's bad, it's bad. I'm going to say it's bad.
Yeah, like, there's things that I love and hate about wrestling. I don't like this promo series. Like, there's literally no purpose to it.
You know, Allie, we haven't heard from you. I want to know what you think. Do you agree with... I mean, where do you stand on this?
I mean... from what I've seen, because I'm pretty sure I missed the middle one. I've seen the first and the third.
Just smash those two together and you have the second.
It's been pretty much the same thing over and over again.
It to me, it looks like I don't know who is supposed to be on what side. Like, I don't know what brought this up. I don't know who's supposed to be on what side. And like you said, this is doing nothing for Roman Reigns.
Even if he wins. Even if he wins, he still looks like a bitch.
Let's talk about...
Yeah, I stole it, Roman. Also, I want to say, and I told you this earlier, it was a joke, and we know both where the joke comes from, but I may not be a pilot, but if I see a plane in a tree, I know that that guy's probably not a good pilot, and this is probably someone effed up.
Yeah.
So, no, I might not get it, but I think I got it.
Yeah, and it goes back to the whole listen to, like, John Cena's issues with, like, The Rock, and then what a lot of people's issues with The Rock is, which is what John Cena is doing right now to Roman. He's cutting a promo. He's making his opponent look bad. Whenever he beats his opponent, it's not going to be impactful because you've spent the last month running him down. Or if he beats you, you look even worse because you spent the last month running this person down. That's why Paul Heyman and certain people like CM Punk and like just people that have amazing mic skills, and I'm not taking anything away from John Cena on this, but that's why their promos are so good, because like listen to Paul Heyman talk about Braun Strowman. Which I kind of want to get into that now because I'm getting annoyed with Cena.
I don't have anything else to say about Cena.
But like just Heyman putting over Braun Strowman and saying about how great he is, how much of a monster he is, about how he's a beast.
Oh, and
but then you say all that. You say so many good things about him, but unfortunately it won't be enough for the beast incarnate. Like that works.
They very easily could have had John Cena come onto Raw, say, I wanted to come here to face the big dog because you've been running your mouth. Everybody's saying you're the next John Cena. I'm John Cena. Prove me wrong. You could have said that instead of bringing out these 10-minute interviews, which are entertaining in the same way that Jerry Springer is entertaining, in the same way that Maury Povich is entertaining. I don't know how many times I saw who the baby daddy was, and I laughed every time. Was it good television? No.
Ah! Oh, those are the two reactions every time.
They really were.
Strowman Lesnar. Paul Heyman comes out, cuts a Paul Heyman promo, which, you know what? Still good. I'm getting tired of Lesnar. I've been tired of Lesnar for like 2 years now. But
a little bit.
Anytime I get to see Paul Heyman, yay.
A little bit.
Strowman comes out, and they have an interaction, and then the greatest thing that ever happened. That literally made Asa giddy. Like, I've been friends with Asa for like 5 years now. And I've never seen pure joy on his face like I did Monday night when Lesnar gave Braun a German and Braun just rolled out of it, stood up, like just he hit the German and he just keeps rolling, ends up on his feet and just gets right in Brock Lesnar's face and then destroys Brock Lesnar. And don't get me wrong, Lesnar's not going to lose.
Yeah, I'll say that's really cool in a bubble. But then in the match when Lesnar lays 50 German suplexes into him and beats him, I'm going to go, but what about that time? That's like when these guys, when they write it that, a guy takes a finisher and gets pinned.
Yeah.
But then the next month in a different match on a pay-per-view, he takes 4 finishers and won't go down. Does he have a different level of toughness based on where he's at the time? Like,
you can make the adrenaline argument.
Adrenaline.
I figure any fight would be an adrenaline argument.
That's fair.
If anyone's trying to kick my ass, I've probably got adrenaline going. It doesn't matter if there's cameras or not. Now, I will admit.
You've never watched Superstars.
Well, I say I will admit that if there's a girl watching, I'll fight harder. That's true. So maybe it's that. I don't know.
The more girls watch the pay-per-views.
The more girls that watch, the more harder I fight. And I wasn't afraid of anything if enough women watch.
Just Strowman rolling out of it was amazing. And just because Braun Strowman is just, he's become one of those people that
He's the instant classic.
He is. He's a cheat code for wrestling. Anytime I see him, I'm excited. Because
Braun Strowman is everything that's right about the wrestling world. He's young. He's hungry. He respects it. He wants to work harder. He wants to be better. He's very respectful.
Yeah, when was the last time we had to say Braun Strowman took a back step?
Oh, and by the way, speaking of the last time we had to say, you said this before about what Ace said something about if they end this promo on a wellness violation. I think it's important to mention that that's how they ended the segment was John Cena calling out Roman Reigns for a wellness violation.
Yeah, so right before the argument starts, Asa was recording the amazing intro for PWU Presents, which if you haven't watched it with T-Dog and the Stone Cold Plumpster, you need to go watch it or listen to it now.
Yes, it's on Podzilla1985.com.
But we started watching the promo and he said, I bet they're going to end it, or I bet Steve's going to end it with something about a wellness violation. And then they did, and then I looked at him like he was a soothsayer, because he literally Babe Ruthed it. He called the shot.
That's because Asa has common sense and is intelligent and knows how cheap they're going to go.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, again, I'm getting real tired of them throwing in, like, it's like Randy Orton saying that about Brock Lesnar. No enhancement needed. Didn't you get popped like 3 times?
I don't understand the point of it. Like, it's not like these guys are really going out there and saying this stuff. You can't convince me otherwise. It may be that I've been around too much. I'm too old and I'm too jaded. Maybe. There's probably a sea of fans that see and hear it and go, wow, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we're in the minority.
So it's just not for me, but it's my show. It's our show. So we're going to bitch about it.
Yeah. If you want to, I suggest starting a podcast.
You could probably beat us. We're not that good. We're kind of good.
We're not that professional from what I hear.
We're not.
We just put over our own podcast.
We're low tier from what I understand. we got some other news to talk about. Asuka is going to Raw.
Yeah.
Which, great. Two problems with it. One, if you're sending Asuka to Raw and you spend all this time telling me now that Nia. Sorry. I always do that.
Yeah,
that Nia Jax is going to be a hot commodity and then you're going to have her lose to Asuka. I don't want it.
Which she's already done.
Which she has done. Please don't do that. Two, I don't want to see Alexa Bliss suffer for this. And three, I hate that they're building apparently Emma back up just to feed her to Asuka when she hits her.
You're about to say, that's what I said whenever I was like, you know, Emma's going to win just so Asuka doesn't beat one of your top people.
And I hate that. Like, I understand someone said, okay, if you don't do 50-50 booking, how do you make everyone look strong all the time? Explain that to me.
Enhancement talent.
That's one way. Also, you can make it, I'd say make it more even to where even though they may lose, they look a little bit more dangerous. I think they've done a pretty good job with Jason Jordan, with him wrestling Reigns and Cena, because they went 14 minutes. But he lost twice.
And then crapped on him at the end of both.
Right. Exactly. The way you speak about the wrestlers, the way that you have other wrestlers speak about the wrestlers goes a long way. But the other answer to that is, I don't know. I'm not a booker, and I don't even want to know how hard that is. It's like when I criticize Donald Trump. Yes, I criticize Donald Trump, and I criticize George Bush. But you know what? I would never want to be president because I have no idea how hard that is, and there's no way to please everybody.
Yeah, and it's one of those things like I wouldn't know how to book it, but my assumption would be is you need your writers to start making storylines for everybody. That's where the issue comes in. Like, we talk about it, and you hear everybody say it, so I'm going to sound very much internet wrestling community. But look at the Attitude Era. Everybody had a storyline.
Yeah.
Everybody had a storyline.
Blackman.
Somebody was sleeping with Ken Shamrock's sister. Like,
it was, three different people.
Yeah, like, that was the mid-card feud.
Yeah.
But like,
but they had feuds.
Everybody had a storyline. Kai and Tai, as horrible as the storylines were, they always had a storyline.
Mr. Yamaguchi was going choppy-choppy Val Venus's pee-pee.
For sleeping with his wife.
Yeah, Mrs. Sushi. I don't know.
Well, I wasn't trying to make it racist.
They had Kai and Tai dub over like goddamn Godzilla actors.
Jesus. But yeah, no, like you had storylines for everybody. Now it's just like, all right, we have these women. All right, we really like Alexa Bliss. Give her the championship belt. All right, cool. We want Nia Jax to have the belt. We want Sasha Banks to have the belt. All right, write a story. Well, how about we just have them win and lose matches? Like,
how about we have Sasha and Charlotte trade the title back and forth?
It's literally universe mode on 2K17.
It really is. You know, yeah. So I used to criticize universe mode in WWE because it was just the same matches every week.
Yeah.
No, that's how it is. Mm-hmm. That's how they write it. Oh my God, I'm going to have an aneurysm tonight.
But yeah, like, I don't
We got to get Asa back.
Yeah, he's
Asa already prevents the anger from overflowing because he sucks it all up and he does it. When we get angry, it's not as fun.
Yeah, because we just kind of, it just becomes a vent session at each other. Sorry, Allie. But yeah, no. Like,
and poor Allie's stuck in the middle.
I'm here too.
She's the only smart one amongst us.
Yeah, no. Fair. Unfortunately, we put Roman Cena way in the middle of the show.
I am so irritated legitimately that I'm over here squeaking my chair over and over again by moving my leg. So let's move on to stuff that's happier. Mick Foley had successful knee surgery.
Yep. It looks like it may have been a replacement, which, you know what, doesn't surprise me, and I'm happy he got the surgery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mick Foley's earned his place. I wasn't always a huge fan of him, but
I loved him as a kid because he was kooky and he had 3 different personalities and he entered the Royal Rumble 3 times one year.
That's pretty funny. I liked him as the GM on Raw back when.
Oh, you mean, the commissioner?
Yes.
Commissioner Mick?
Yes. That was entertaining. He had his little office and he had the little toy, gavel. The little squeaky gavel. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like Edge and Christian and him always messing. Like, he was
damn entertaining.
Yeah. No. So. And Mick Foley, like, he says some things about wrestling I don't completely agree with, and he's kind of become old man yells like at Cloud.
He's like a sort of Jim Cornette, but funny.
Yeah, and like I respect him a little bit more.
And his daughter.
That's not any bit that makes me care, but no, I'm happy he had the knee surgery because he was always one of my favorites as a kid.
Speaking of surgery, Kenny Omega also had successful meniscus surgery, and from the notes, Asta popped up here for us. Still expected to face Juice Robinson at the end of this month because this was an old injury.
Yeah, it might have been outpatient. He may have just wanted to scope the knee.
Like, which is very, very cool, although if I'm going to watch Juice, it's going to be Justin the Juice Smart. That's my Juice.
Are you 18?
Well over. Almost.
But yeah, no, I'm excited for that match. Juice Robinson, if you don't know, CJ Parker from NXT from a couple of years ago, is just an amazing talent. He's only got better whenever he went into New Japan. Like, he's just a really, really good wrestler.
He did a lot of better work in New Japan than he did in NXT, that he was allowed to.
He didn't like his place on NXT, but I liked him on NXT. As, like, he started as the hippie and then everybody turned on him, so he ended up being the angry hippie.
Speaking of New Japan Pro Wrestling and NXT, Sami Callihan, who was Solomon Crow in NXT, is also reportedly to join New Japan Pro Wrestling. Oh, I think that's great because Sami Callihan is amazing. I thought Solomon Crow was cool. I wish they would have done more with it. It was a cool gimmick. He was a hacker. He would hack into the show with his laptop and like do stuff. It was a cool gimmick.
They did it for like 2 weeks, and then we didn't hear from him for like a month, and then he just randomly challenged Kevin Owens for the NXT championship and lost on a random NXT show.
To me, he reminds me of Cassius Ohno. Originally, like, mm-hmm. they had a guy that was clearly top tier talent. They didn't really know what to do with him. It was kind of early in the days of NXT, so they didn't really find their footing, and he was just a victim of it.
No. Solomon Crow is a victim. Oh, wait, are you talking about Ohno or Cat or Crow?
Both. I think they're both.
Crow had a big issue.
What was that?
Crow was in NXT whenever Tommy, Owens, Zayn, and Balor were there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, there was just a lot of people, and I'm not taking any away from Sami Callihan, but when you have that much star power and you want a spot on the card.
Right.
And he deserved it. Like, he definitely was deserving of more.
He's a top talent. Yeah.
Than like 100%. Bull Dempsey and Mojo Rawley. He deserved more time than them, but he just didn't get it because WWE wasn't backing him as much.
Well, Callihan, I don't think he's friends with Gronk.
No, not that I'm aware of.
Also, they're hinting at a Zack Ryder heel turn. Did you see this?
No.
He was disappointed in their loss to Gable and Shelton Benjamin. And Mojo Rawley, like, shook their hand and was very respectful. Zack just kind of walked off. So, they're very much hinting that Zack might turn on Mojo, which I can't remember the last time we had heel Zack Ryder.
Whenever he was.
Was it ECW?
Oh, it was after that. La Familia.
Was that after?
Yup.
Huh. Because I remember him in ECW with, who was he partner? Alicia Fox.
No.
Was it not Alicia Fox?
He was never Zack Ryder on ECW that I'm aware of.
Yeah, because he started the woo 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 there.
Oh, he started the woo woo there?
He did.
He debuted.
Briefly.
He debuted on ECW with Curt Hawkins as the Major Brothers. That's what I was thinking. And they were faces. And then they went over to SmackDown as Edge's doppelgangers. So after La Familia, he must have went back. I just don't remember that. I didn't watch. That was whenever my dark period in wrestling, where I really wasn't watching.
On the November 3rd episode of ECW, Ryder entered a love angle with Rosa Mendez, who became his valet. Never mind. I'm done already. I tapped out. Rosemary cleared to return to the ring after that awful thing that happened with Sexy Star, which, by the way, we watched the newest Botchamania. That's all I've seen of that Triple Mania show, but the term dumpster fire comes to mind. It seemed like a bad show. Jeff Jarrett's like teasing chimichangas to kids or something because they're in Mexico. No, I'm being serious. He's like teasing them with it because he's drunk out of his mind.
He's pulling tortillas. He was pulling those out of his trunk and throwing them into the crowd because he's a heel because it's impact.
That's disgusting. Yeah. But the whole thing just seemed really bad, and that match looked really bad. A lot of language barriers there that we're not able to overcome, and of course, Sexy Star is a piece of garbage. So it's good that Rosemary is back.
Yes.
One last thing before we talk about briefly about something else, very important. The GFW Network, Dalton, you had the story on that.
Apparently it looks like there's going to be like a free tier and a paid tier. I think the paid tier is $5.99, and you're going to get access to, I think, GFW episodes 10 days after they air with no ads. And you also are going to get things from, I'm going to mess up and say the wrong promotions, but I know AAA, you're going to get stuff from them because it's a partner of GFW, and you're also going to get Noah from Japan. Which, honestly, for AAA and Noah, $5.99, not too bad. You can skip the GFW part.
Especially for Noah.
Yeah, Noah's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, That's just a really good promotion out of Japan. Because believe it or not, most of the promotions out of Japan that are big names are amazing.
It's not a bad deal. It's not quite on the level of like WWE Network, obviously, but I mean, it's not a bad deal. If you're a wrestling fan and you got some spare money, it's not. And you know, you never know how long it's going to last. Take advantage of it while you can.
Yeah.
Because depending on which week you listen to the show, GFW has either run out of money, they've been out of money, they've sold it, or they're doing great.
Apparently the reports off of GFW, like Anthem wanting to pull out, were completely false.
That's what I've heard too.
So like, that's good. I mean,
but is it? Who knows anymore? With GFW, who knows?
I'm going to say we're good this time.
We got to get out of here. We're out of time, but real quick, Ace is not here, so we can't really get in depth about it. But Dalton, you guys attended the Stride show over the weekend. I was unable to go. We had a death in the family, and I wasn't able to make it. Allie worked. I'm really, really salty about it too, because I had planned on going. I want to meet Kevin Huntsberger. I want to shake the man's hand because I've only seen him in passing. We've never talked. We've talked online. He seems like a cool guy. I want to pick his brain. And of course I wanted to see Dexter. I want to see JD and Billy and Sarah and Roger and all the guys. Jay Wellington Beauregard, who's my best friend. Look it up. But I wasn't able to make it. I know we can't get into it too much. Just give me, how good was it?
It was really, really good. It's one of those things like watching Stride. It's only getting better every time I go see it.
Would you say it's the big nasty of indie shows?
No, because I like Stride. It gets better every time. And just seeing the way the storylines are progressing. So, like, not too long ago, we figured out that Beauregard was the backer, the financial backer to
the DR party.
DR party.
Yeah.
So now you have Beauregard coming out to the DR party, but he also still coming out with Maximum Overdrive.
The Neon Nightmares.
And so we have the amazing tag team match for the belts. And then, DR Party comes out and just interferes for no reason. And now Maximum Overdrive is pissed off at the DR Party and Beauregard's in the middle of it. And you have Axe yelling at everybody, which.
And that doesn't tickle his fancy.
No.
At all.
Axe's fancy. Oh, did we tell you the bit? Oh, so you know every time like Ace and I are like one of our most excited parts of Stride is getting to watch the Neon Nightmares come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, because it's usually Scott Phoenix coming out and doing something outlandish. So we their music starts and we start booing and it turns to instant laughter because Axe walks out first. Axe dyed his hair blonde.
I was gonna ask you about that. It is bright as shit.
Yes, and I went boo.
Did he shave his face too?
Yeah, no, he was completely.
I didn't recognize him. I thought it was Sarge. Sarge.
It did. But yeah, no, and just like everything that progresses in Stride is amazing. Now we have, Scott coming out and giving his phone number to, a random lady.
Yeah.
You say lucky. Red Daniels' progression is just his matches with Chris Hargis. The fan accident will like, I say fun, but this kind of got serious because in the middle of the Chris Hargis match with him, it was no DQ. Red decided it would be a good idea to pull a fan in front of him, and Hargis went through and actually hit the fan, and they actually stopped. Like, Sam had to suspend Hargis for 30 days. So it's one of those things like that kind of got dicey.
Okay, so this is pro wrestling unscripted. How much of that is real?
Well, thanks for taking my acting away.
Pro wrestling unscripted. You messing with me, and now I'm actually worried.
I'll tell you about it after the show.
All right, because Hargis is a good guy.
Yeah, no, like
that
Hargis
said he would hit a fan.
It was an accident. He was aiming for Red, but Red threw a fan in front of him. Like, that's kind of on Red. Like, the fact that Sam didn't fire Red.
Was it a fan or a fan?
It was a fan.
Aaron was there?
Yeah. No, it
that's
wasn't Aaron.
Sweet.
But
Barry
yeah, no,
was there.
But
Barry Carafa was there.
Barry Carafa was there. The cool thing is, though, now. The fact that since Hargis got suspended, we really didn't have anybody for Red to face, and we're getting the Ace Hawkins versus Red Daniels. And like the fact that I just want Red Daniels to lose after doing something like that, because it's pretty despicable.
Allie,
like,
you can wear the Cheer Me Ace Hawkins shirt if you get to go.
I know.
It's on a Friday night.
I won't get booed.
It's on a Friday night.
We'll see.
Okay.
But yeah, no, just, and like getting to see all the wrestlers, getting to watch, Southern Discomfort, Billy and,
Roger
team up.
Are you okay?
I'm tired.
You just keep just forgetting everything.
But yeah,
you thought it was New Girls on the Block.
Had a bunch of hits. Chinese food makes me sick.
It's New Kids on the Block.
Had a bunch of hits. Chinese food makes me sick. But yeah, no, just everything got about like, and we got every month we have something that's our new favorite. Joey O'Reilly and Cash Borden teamed up.
That's
so, yeah,
incredible sounding.
Yeah, no, just I feel bad for anybody who has to face him because they get kicked. There's a new member of the DR party, Edwards, who is big and intimidating. He's like the biggest member they have.
Does he have a full name or is it just Edwards?
I didn't catch his full first name, but I know his last name is Edwards. I still can't remember the one guy that wears like the no sleeves. I can never think of
it. What the hell is his name?
I don't know. He keeps telling me to mention him on the show, but I keep forgetting his name.
What is it?
Sleevely McBaggins? Wasn't that what we called him?
I don't know what
Sleeveless McBaggins?
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. I can't even remember the guy you're talking about. Is it Dexter?
No.
No, he wears
Boo. Yes. Wow, that was conditioning right there.
Is it, it's not Dexter.
It's not Bragg. Nate. No, because that's Nate Bragg.
Mumbly Joe.
That's
who it is.
Yeah.
Mumbly Joe.
Mumbly Joe. Yeah. But yeah, no, Stride was amazing. I'm getting really excited for the upcoming show because, a lot of great matches. Red versus Ace is on that one.
Ricky Steamboat's there.
Ricky Steamboat's going to be there.
The Dragon.
It does look like we're going to have and this is at the Pinckneyville 204 Community Consolidated.
And this is on Friday.
This is on a Friday night, October 6th. We have Dexter Roswell versus T-Dog in a paddle on a pole match. And this is the school that T-Dog is the principal of. And the fact that it's a paddle on the pole match makes me so happy. But other matches we have,
we'll save that for next week when we preview the show.
Okay.
Yeah, we want Asa to be here for this too. We don't want to go over this now. We want Asa to be here. It doesn't feel right without Asa. Cause you and Asa are such big Stride fans. I feel like I've let Stride down as a fan because I haven't been able to go for like the past 7 months.
Yeah, and then you have DR trying to make Stride great again and then you're not there. It's just kind of, it's bumming me out.
Well, I'll talk to Beauregard. We'll see what we can manage up for the next one. We do have to get out of here though. Yes. It sounded like Stride was a great time. I wish we could have been there. I will try to make the next show. I desperately want to go. Lane Austin messaged me and said, if you're not at the next one, I will kill you.
Lane's on the poster.
He is. How cool is that?
In the bottom corner. If you don't click on the poster, you won't see him.
But go look at it because Lane is something to look at.
Sure he is.
I call him Referee McDreamboat. I wish I could put him in sleeveless clothes and then in no clothes. And that's all I'll say. We got to get out of here. Thank you guys for listening to Pro Wrestling Unscripted. We're going to be back tomorrow with Podzilla After Dark. And what I want to talk about is I want to talk about Stephen King because we just saw It on Sunday and it was incredible. But I don't know how – because I know Lindsay knows a little bit about Stephen King. I don't know how much Mandy or Jesse knows. So we might talk about something different. We're definitely going to talk about PewDiePie and how stupid he is. And maybe get someone else on the show if they don't want to talk about Stephen King because I really want to talk about it. I got a lot to talk about. Now, real quick, I want to hit you with the regular plugs. You go to Podzilla1985.com if you want to catch up on those old episodes. You can also go to Where Dalton if you want to donate to us.
If you want to give money to us and help us out with that end of it because we're looking for a new soundboard, you can go to patreon.com/Podzilla1985. We have a reward system. We're going to start working on that to make that a little bit better.
We really are. I just updated the cast page today.
Yeah.
And I will continue to do updates.
Like Asa said that he's going to sit you, Jesse, myself, and himself down, and we're just going to have a good conversation about how to do the...
We are. I'm thinking at around the $20 a month mark, you can get a date with any of us.
I'm fine with that.
I'm kind of fine with that, too. Allie, are you okay with that?
We'll talk.
Okay. And Allie, where can they go if they want to talk to us on Facebook?
They can go to Facebook.com/Podzilla1985.
So close.
Because it's Facebook.com/.
Facebook.com/Podzilla1985.
I'm sorry. Or you can just go to Facebook and hit the search button and write Podzilla1985.
That's true. We're the only one. Or just come to Gaming Grounds and talk to me. I'm here all the time.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow on Podzilla After Dark. Thanks for listening. Have a great night. And if you can catch it, go catch that CCW Live that we did. It was a lot of fun with Jeff O'Dell. We'll see you tomorrow. Later.